We are continuing our series on the sin of slander. The sin of slander. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The sin of slander. Glory be to God. Let's turn to our foundation text of James chapter 4, beginning with the 11th verse. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 4, beginning with the 11th verse. Thank you, Father God, for your precious Holy Spirit here at this time, because we need him to teach us what thus saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We need him. James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brother. Just a quick, you know, in our flesh, we may get tired of that. You know, I've heard this now for 2 months straight, this verse, you know, like, man, when this dude gonna read something else, you know, or why don't he just start with where we left off? One of the reasons I read it, the same, our foundation text over and over, one is to put our, settle our minds and focus us mind. But you know, the word of God says to give over to public reading. That's in the word of God. That's one of the commands that the apostle Paul wrote in the pastoral epistles to Timothy. Give yourselves over to reading in public. And so this is part of filling that command to hear the word of God spoken in the air, and so that it can fill your ears and eventually fill your heart. Because how many know that just because you heard it one time, two times, 10 times, doesn't mean that you've got it.
Amen.
Matter of fact, we'll never get it. We will always be getting it. Even the world will tell you that a person who figured that they don't have any more to learn is not a very wise person.
Amen.
Even the world will tell you that. How much more the supernatural, eternal, everlasting, ever abiding word of God. So the reading is important. And so I guess maybe the Lord's having me stop. So listen, as you read, as I read, you follow with your eye. Okay, read it. Let me get my notes together. Next. Nope. Lock in on every word. Just as I'm reading every word. Let it, take it in. Ingest the word of God. Father God, let us become Jeremiah's. And when we find your word, we eat it. And it becomes a joy and rejoicing of our heart. It doesn't become the joy and rejoicing of your heart unless you take it in and eat it and savor it. Food doesn't become that unless you like how it tastes. The word of God is very tasteful. There's a ton of nutrients in it. It's for spirit, soul, and body. Take it in, ingest, digest, and let it become a part of you. Amen? Amen. Having said that, let's lock in on verse 11 again of James chapter 4. Does everyone have it, by the way?
Amen.
All right. Do not, and again, I'm reading from the New American Standard. It's pretty close enough you can follow in yours. James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brothers. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who in the world are you? I'm bad at that, in the world. But who in the world are you who judge your neighbor? Now notice he didn't use brother. Did you catch that? In the last word, he used neighbor. Your fellow man, because your brother is your neighbor, is your fellow man. You see that your brother is your sister, is your neighbor, is your fellow man. Meaning then he puts neighbor in there. Then remember, this is a half brother Jesus. He know what his half brother said in the Sermon on the Mount, because this sermon, by the way, they've said that this epistle is closely related to the St. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, love ye your enemies
and do good to them, hatred, and so on and so on. And also it was Jesus who taught that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. This is a well-timed word. You don't slander your neighbor. Just like you don't slander your brother. There's nothing in scripture that supports us slandering or sinning against anyone who's living in this entire world. Wow, preacher, did you have to say the entire world? Why not just over here in Angston? You mean when I go out of the country to Japan, I still gotta, them people don't know me? Yeah, but I know you.
Amen.
That's what the Lord will tell you. What's the longest you spent in Japan, your longest stint over there?
9 months.
9 months, wow, you know that. So you think she gets a 9 month break? Well, you know, you're gonna treat the black folks this well, just the Americans. Neighbor means everybody in the entire world. And we need to get in our heads as Christians, we are commanded to treat everybody in the world, we're commanded to understand and know the fact that everybody in the world is our neighbor. And we're to love them as ourselves. And remember, the love of God, I know this is old hat and ice to Eskimos, but the love of God has nothing to do with familiarity or emotion. Let that sink in. I teach my Star Brothers students that now. I said, Ms. Harris, love you. I said, I want to tell you something. You said, how can I love you? You don't even know me. I said, because of God's love. And I tell them all, I said, I'm breaking all the rules. I said, I don't care. They'll fire me. I'll just be fired. Amen. That's so, tell them. I said, I love you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God's love is different from human love. God's love does not depend on familiarity. Remember, the first thing he says, well, you don't know me, how can you love me? So familiarity doesn't depend on emotion. I said, what it does, it locks on one thing, and that is my willingness to want your highest good and do what I can to bring it about. That's God's love. And sir or ma'am or my student, whoever you are, I want to see you succeed here. I want to see you do well as a student, both behaviorally and academically. And Mr. Harris is going to bring about whatever it is to bring to, Mr. Harris is going to do whatever it is to bring that about. That's love. That's why you can go to Japan. That's why you're required to go to Japan and love there, because it's not familiarity or emotion. How familiar do you have to do? Do you have to be, or how emotional must you be? How emotionally connected must you be to hold a door open for somebody? That requires no emotion. That requires no familiarity. Acts of kindness require no emotion or no familiarity. Say that again. First thing that love is kind. Charity, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and kind. Kind means to do something useful that benefits the other person. Guess where you aren't in that? Nowhere other than you doing the act. It's for their benefit. No familiarity needed. No emotion needed. To speak to somebody. That's walking in love. It's simple things that we fail to do as Christians that are really, I know, it disappoints the Lord. Because if anybody is supposed to be known by love, Jesus said, the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, and somewhere down in there near the end, he said, by this will all men know that you are my disciple because you have love one for another. They're supposed to see us and find out what love is.
Yeah.
Wow, they're not doing that, aren't they, Miss April? Not like they should. Man, you tell somebody you're a Christian, all they know is just bad people. So like everybody just know somebody who would just live a bad life. And so when we say Christian, they just go to that person. And you know, the devil got it set up so beautifully, because when a person says they're a Christian, everybody just believe it. We got to tell people, you know, sir, ma'am, just because they said they're a Christian don't mean that they are. So don't judge, you know, that they said they're Christian by somebody else who says they're Christian. Just because they said it doesn't mean it's true. But you got to kind of do that as a teaching thing. But that's why we need to act a certain way, that the word of God be not what? Blasphemed, evil spoken of, discredited, which is what has happened when our lives aren't right. Word of life.
We're not our own. That's why James is jumping on the people of God there. You can't act like this. If they come in and see there's slander and there's fighting and quarreling and maybe so much rage that could maybe lead to murder and all these stuff is things going on, who in the world am I gonna say, wow, let me join that group? They're saying, I see enough of that in the world. Matter of fact, y'all are just like my family. And I don't want to do my family. And it's a shame that we look no better than a lot of tore up families. That's a shame. So my prayer to the Lord is, let me not add to your misery, symbolically speaking. Let me not be one that's bringing that. Let it not be once be named among us. Because here at Word of Life, we know better. Why? Because we've been taught better. We know better. It's something. He slipped that last word, neighbor, in there in the last part of the verse. Because that brings in the whole thing. Because we know what we're supposed to do with our neighbor. Love them like we love ourselves. Amen. Let's go back to, we began talking about, now I know you all missed last time, just a quick review. We were talking about being a doer of the law, not a doer because you're a judge. So let's kind of go back over that verse 11 again as we exegete that part. But if you judge the law, okay, do not speak against one another, brother. And we covered that. He who speaks against the law or judges, I'm sorry, speaks against a brother, slow down, or judges his brother, speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. So we went over that last time. If you judge the law, meaning if you show utter contempt, to show disregard for the divine standard, that's what it means to judge the law. It means to show disregard. It means to show contempt for the divine standard. It means to criticize it as useless and unnecessary. You're like, man, come on. Sin ain't that deep, is it? As Sister Lana said in her angsty voice, Yes, it is. I'll be the reason that the Lord has had me to kind of go. He said, well, we're just talking about slander. I mean, come on, dude. I mean, it ain't that bad. Slander is a sin. All sin is violence, like love that word, against the divine nature of God. Mm-hmm. All sin. So what the Lord is doing here is taking the sin of slander and really sloshing it over all sin. Yes, it is a disregard for God's standard. It means to criticize his standard, his law, as being useless and unnecessary. You're a judge of the law. What do you mean criticize useless and unnecessary? Because my law is higher than that one. I don't need that. I got mine. And in my law, it's okay to slander. You're a judge of the law. He said, you're not a doer of the law. We looked at James 1:25, where James talks about, but he who does the work of the law, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. James 1:25. He'll be blessed in what he does. So James is saying from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 25, to chapter 4, verse 11, when you are sitting in judge of the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. What do you mean, but a judge? Well, you've just climbed up on the bench yourself. You told the judge, scoot over. I got this. And that's something. You come out of the witness stand or off out of the jury, whatever it is, and you walk up into the bench and you tell the judge, scoot on over. You move your behind like that. Scoot on over, knock him off. You're a judge. You've taken your seat
on the bench. Man, come on. Sin ain't that deep. Is it meaning I'm displacing God? Yeah, because you're following your law. I never thought of that. Great. That's what I want to hear. Instead of, man, it ain't that deep. Yes, it is. You mean when I sin, you mean what I do is I take my seat. I'm just kind of on the bench and I'm in charge. You mean I rejected my position as one under the authority of the law and taking a position above the law? That's what I've done? Yes. Because you're saying I'm not under this anymore. Because what I'm doing, which is a sin, is above God's law. We don't think it's sin like that. We like, it's just, that's just too much. Let me just do my little sin. It ain't no big deal. God ain't bothered, but ain't nobody taking no bench seat. God's still there. Calm down, Pastor. You being extra. But that's what we're saying. We don't realize it. Right, Miss Cheryl? See, this is a great teaching for us because we don't think it's that deep. Even when I was studying, I'm like, man, that is a lot of, that's a lot, that's some nerve, but that's a lot going on. Yeah, but keep studying and studying and studying and studying. Because we take sin way too lightly. I know I do. I'm working on, I'm praying. Father God, help me to see my sin as you see it. Amen. Help me to hate my sin as you hate it. Help me to see it and hate it as you see it and hate it and not think lightly of my sin. And so help this to help us, hopefully. Yes, you've knocked God, in a sense, off the bench. And you sat your raggedy behind now in the bench. And you're no longer under the law to obey it. You're now above the law to be obeyed. You're in charge. And are more worthy than the law is. You're saying, in effect, I am superior to the law when I sin. That's why every sin, if I can put it up here, is a sin of pride. Every sin is a sin of pride. Every sin is a sin of pride. Every sin is a sin of pride. I said, Lord, every sin? What about a little white lie? We love to put colors on stuff, make it sound a little less sinful. A little white lie. What Revelation said, all liars without a part in the lake of fire. That's the white lie, the black lie, the green one, the red one, the plaid one, the kaleidoscope one, the periwinkle one. All liars. It's a sin of pride. Every sin is a sin of pride. Having my notes here because what you're saying in effect is, I know what God said, but this is what I'm saying. I know what God is saying. This is what I'm saying. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Look at, by way of review, let's go back to Nadab and Abihu. Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 1. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Nadab, D-A-B. And Abihu, A-B-I-H-U. These were both sons of Aaron. If you read earlier, there's a big ceremony that they went through to get, you know, become members of the priesthood and so forth. And they had been given directions, which we'll find out.
Verse 1, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire, whatever that is, before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. You see that phrasing, which he had not commanded them? Mm-hmm. So right there, there's a sin. They're doing something that God did not command them to do. You follow that? I know this ice Eskimos, but I believe in majoring on the major. I'm a teacher. One of the things that our profession says, never assume that your students understand anything. That's not to say you're stupid. I'm not saying that, and by the way, this, I feel like I'm talking to my students because that's exactly what I would tell them. It's that a good teacher is going to explain everything. I'd rather for a teacher to over-explain than not explain enough. So although it's simple there, you say, well, I see that. I want to draw your attention to it when it says at the end of the verse, which he had not commanded them. So is it safe to say then that God had commanded them to do some things? Yeah, but this wasn't it. Does that make sense? Simple, but yet profound. Tell you how sin is, see. We know what God has commanded, and we know what God has not commanded. They're doing their own thing. Verse 2. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord, and a voice from heaven said, hey, that's okay. I didn't command it, but I'm going to give you. She's shaking her head looking for that part of the verse. No, that's not what he said. That's not what happened, is I'm thinking that. Fire came and consumed them. Wow. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go, you probably can go to 100,000 churches. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. You hardly ever hear that being taught. It's always explained away. Well, God, that was the God of the Old Testament. You know, that God, you know, that was a God who some people accuse God of having some element of the demonic in him. True. That is a God who was irritated and agitated, and he just acted out of just emotion, out of capricious whim. There's a group called the Martians, called Martians after Martius. Martian, I think his name is Martian, yes, I believe his name is, who was the first one to canonize the Bible. You know, the Bible is made of 66 books. So remember, there were books all over, but Martian was the one who began to bring it into one volume. Well, what Martian did was, because Martian's volume, his first volume, was a strange collection because there was no Old Testament scripture. He didn't want nothing to do with the God of the Old Testament. And a lot of the New Testament missing because they refer to the Old Testament. You just had a few things scattered here and there and everywhere. Just a little bit here and there. Probably a pretty slim volume. Could you completely eliminate the whole Old Testament? And so you have Martians living today. And they'll say things like, I love the God of the New Testament, but that God of the Old Testament, I can't stomach him. I said, they're two different gods. But my question is, if I can do my Medea, hello, have you read Revelation? That's in the New Testament. And that wrath of God is poured from Revelation 5 all the way to Revelation 19, and it is a bloody mess. It's as if it is beneath God to show any emotion. It's beneath God to exhibit any wrath. And I want you to understand that. That's what's out there. In full effect. They don't like to talk about the wrath of God. I've told you this before when we talked about the God of the Bible. We talked about the wrath of God. So they don't like to talk about his love. And even that's distorted.
nothing about the wrath of God. And the reason you don't like to talk about the wrath of God, can anybody guess why? Because folks don't like to talk about sin. Because wrath and sin go together. And you'll find a lot of those churches that don't talk about the wrath of God, don't talk about sin. Brother Ken don't know, he blessed my soul last week, because last week was a rough message about sin. He said, man, I'm glad to be here. If you can tell me that after you hear that message, you sin. I said, Lord, you done sent me here for real. Because you don't say nothing after that, I'm glad to be here. But you blessed my soul, brother. Because I know last week was rough. We don't like to talk about sin. God ain't playing. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. They were dead. And I told you last week, in the white space between verses 2 and 3, you know Moses said something to Aaron. Like, what in the world just happened? Aaron, rather, the father of those two, said something to Moses. Moses, man, what's going on? They're my sons. What kind of a God is this? This is too much. It wasn't up, they young. They new to the ministry. They were just playing around, more than likely. And it cost them their lives. That's what happened in that white space. Why? Because look at verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, I think some have answered. I think some translations may have answered, I'm not sure. But then Moses said to Aaron. Why does it say then Moses said to Aaron? Because I believe in that white space, Aaron was complaining to Moses. Why this happened? What kind of God is this? Then Moses says to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke. Uh-oh, wait a minute. God said something. Is God not faithful and just? We went on that last week. Faithful and just, right? He's faithful and just. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Romans 9, verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there any injustice, unrighteousness, iniquitas with God? The answer is no. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, I believe. In him is light. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So there is no injustice or iniquity or unrighteousness with God. So everything he does is righteous, it's holy, it's just. It's justice. Are you listening to me? Verse 3, Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. I will be treated as holy. What is he saying here? This is a non-negotiable. You get no breaks on this. Keep reading. And before all the people, I will be honored. And Aaron said, but hold on, but why did, no. The word says, so Aaron, therefore, kept silent. Why did he keep silent, word of life? Because when Moses recited to Aaron what the Lord said, you can best believe Aaron remembered. And he kept silent. Because that's all he could do. God had spoken. Yeah. So let the church say amen. Amen. My T-Brand, Pawpaw's and Belinda's aunt, she sings a song, let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Yeah. So let the church say amen. He said, it is what the Lord said, Aaron. I know both your sons are gone. And as if the Lord is saying, yeah, man, hey, I know you are hurting right now, because both your sons are gone. But I told you. Now, by the way, when it says, it is what the Lord spoke, when do you think this was spoken? Huh? Before. Whoever said that?
Yeah, before. Before. He's faithful. He's just. He doesn't spring it on him. Why did Aaron not say anymore? I bet you he remembered it.
Oh yeah, he did say that.
That's it.
You follow me?
There's no more to say.
God had already said it. Moses reminded him. Do you know it's a grace while we live? Has not God taught us? Don't lie, don't backbite, don't do this, don't watch this, don't see this, and we're doing it. Yeah. Don't think of this. Don't be gluttonous. Don't worship that. Don't do this. Every single day, he's spoken it. We're not alive because we're so good. Because he's so gracious. Shatah. Excuse me. Yeah, you better watch yourself up in here. We think God is just a big old teddy bear.
Come on.
Miss April.
Look, wiggy, wiggy, woogie, woogie. Oh, God, he's just so crude.
No, he's not. He's overbearing. Keep praying for me, kid. Keep praying for me. He's overbearing. He's over-gracious. He's over-compassionate. He's much merciful. But what we do, we take it for granted.
You just think, ain't nothing wrong with what I'm saying.
I'm embarrassed to tell you, I think that at times, especially not since studying this, but in times past, you're before you know it, you're tempted with that thought. Well, you didn't do nothing. It's not been that big of a deal. We take his kindness for weakness. And when he does come out the box and justly take somebody out, oh, whoa, hey, wait, this guy, you need to calm down. No, how many more breaks has he given? You don't realize that this, you may can find 30, maybe not even, about 99, but maybe 10 or 15 throughout the whole Old Testament like that. As I said last week, how many folks were sinning on one day? Let's say 4 or 5 million people on earth at that time. How many sinning every day, just about everybody? And you mean over whatever many books you get, 10 instances of that, it really shows the grace of God. It's not why did this happen, it's why did it happen more. Mm-hmm. You're asking the wrong question. Why did God do that? It's not why did the plane fly in that building, why haven't they flown into more buildings that we've been in? That's the question. So I will be honored. I will be treated as holy. You will. Not you'll die. Look over 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're going to talk about Uzzah. And then we went over that last. Yes. Uzzah. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verse 5, while you're reviewing that, turning there, just a quick review. The Ark of the Covenant, which is symbolic of the presence of the Lord, the most holy assembly in the holiest of holies, had been taken, and through a series of miracles, it got back to the people of God. And so they were celebrating. Big old parade, you know, like a parade with folks all on the side celebrating, you know. They put the Ark of the Covenant in an ox cart, and it's being carried along in this ox cart by oxen. Verse 5. So they were all celebrating, right? Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood and lyres and harps and tambourines, castanets and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. So the oxen stumbled. No, maybe they pulled too fast, and the sudden movement caused the ark to start to fall in the back of that ox cart. And Uzzah reaches out and grabs a hold of it to set it back up in balance. Does that make sense? What happened in verse 7? And the anger of the Lord, and the anger of the Lord, and the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. So let me read what it doesn't say. And voices came saying, "Thank you, Uzzah, for not letting the cart fall." That's not what happened, is it? You say, "Well, hey, he kept it from falling. I mean, what's going on? Where's the thanks?" His thoughts, not our thought, ways, not our ways. Anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. Burned against Uzzah. And God struck him down there for his irreverence. Wow. And he died there by the ark of God. David became angry because of the Lord's outbursts against Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. Timer just went off. You got to wait for why all of this happened from next week.
I know the timer just went off, and I don't want to rush through this at all. It is really fascinating. You'll see it crystal clear from the Word of God.
I will say that your reading there is different from ESV, but it gives clarity because mine says because of his error, but yours makes it clear with because of his irreverence.
Irreverence. Yes, it is. And that scene, and by the way, see, I love that. What I want you all to see is these translations are also motivated by, you know, Arminians, some are, you'll see that in there. See, that's a much softer word, error. Irreverence is a much truer word. He was dishonorable toward, you. Hey, man, he just instinctively saw it falling. I mean, why so, why? Next week,
what?
We'll figure it out. Yes.
Father God, you are teaching us about sin. And we need to get into how horrible our sin is every day. Every single sin that we commit against you is horrible. Every single one. Help us, please, Father God, to see our sin as you see our sin, in Jesus' name, amen.